Hi, welcome to our podcast. My name is Amma Germain, and I am a senior Africana Studies major at Pitt, and I'm joined here with my partner,
Gamor Muya, a freshman, and I'm majoring in biology right here at Pitt.
Yeah, so for this podcast, we're going to be looking at Russian lamenting. And we got this from class. We watched a video of an old lady lamenting, and we talked a little bit about it. And we're going to be comparing it to some African funerary traditions. We're going to be looking at it cross-culturally and how, you know, funerary traditions are very important to human society and what purpose they serve.
Yes. For me, when I first seen this video, it kind of reminded me of Kenyan lamenting. In a way, because in Kenyan funerals, there's a whole lot of lamenting that goes on. I have encountered in my life. I myself have seen lamenting when my mother's sister passed. People were gathered around and they had came to pay their respect and give their condolences. As soon as one woman starts crying, and then it just turns into a domino effect, so to speak, to the point that they are all crying simultaneously.
This topic actually stood out to me because I have a strong passion for anthropology and Black studies. As I said before, I'm an Africana studies major, and so is my dad. You know, he's an Africana studies professor, so I guess it's just in my blood. No, but, you know, funerary rites are something that we covered in previous anthropology classes. We've talked about, you know, how important funerary rituals have been for human society and how they continue to be so important. For example, in my intro to anthropology class in 2019, we talked about this one society in, I believe, Brazil. And whenever they had a death, they would all grieve together by this screaming, singing thing, and this would kind of expel all of their emotions and allow them to form a community within that grief, for them to be able to better, you know, better express their emotions and get over that loss, which is what's important. And this is what we want to talk about in our podcast. Is we want to talk about how Russian lamenting and African funerary practices help these people get over loss and feel closer to each other.
The next few minutes, we will be talking about Russian lamenting to explore its purpose. And then we will be talking about different African rituals and how they help communities deal with death in a similar fashion to Russian lamenting. Lastly, we will have a Q&A portion as my partner, Emma, will ask me pointed questions about my experiences as a Kenyan and how I personally feel about how it feels, how it relates to Russian lamenting. Alrighty, so we're gonna jump right into it. Russian lamenting happens within a mixed population of official Russian Orthodox. This is a part of their funerary practices. The ritual, a tradition combined with contemporary elements and accommodation to changing psycho-economic conditions. It is very important to Russian families to have these rituals. It has to be prepared correctly as the dead is on their deathbed. Elizabeth Warren says the moment of death is especially holy. To sit by the bedside of the desperately ill, by the pillow of the sorrow officiated, to watch as the soul departs the pale breast and the bright eyes, bid for farewell to the world, is considered a matter of the most necessity, and the mourners are
more sorrowful still if they failed to do this, to watch this moment. So basically, this moment is a very special moment, and if you don't get to achieve this, the Russian feel like they failed in life because they weren't there while their family passes. It's like a task they would love to achieve while living. As in many other cultures, the Russians use to upload the concept of good and bad or untimely deaths. If a death happens unexpectedly, like the individual died a death not their own, for example, suicides and murder, or died for whatever other reason, like drowning or, you know, passed away before the expiration of their divinely allotted time on earth. Sadly, suicide deaths are denied for burial and prayers. Death has always been an unwelcomed event, traditionally linked in Russian funeral laments with negative thoughts such as wicked, you know, people. This is how a lament for a husband who was killed in the Russian Japanese War. The wife regretted the fact that he died, laying his brave head down. This is her lamenting. Not on a soft bed, not on a high pillow, not under a warm blanket, but on the bloody battlefield for his bed. He had cold Mother Earth for his pillows, small bushes of broom for his blanket, and a heavy kit bag. So this lamenting was about a woman whose husband who died in the war, and she is basically regretting the fact that her husband died at war. He died unexpectedly. She didn't expect for him to die that way. And so now we will be listening to an elder woman in Russia that is called upon to show us how a lamenting should be done. She is in her home and she begins to cry. Listen very carefully. As we heard in this clip, we heard a whole lot of crying, and she did utter a few words while crying. You could definitely feel her emotions that she's trying to impose and trying to share with us. From my own experience, I felt very sad, and I felt very sad, and that I kind of felt like I was there with her, even though I'm not physically there, I felt like I was there because, like, her crying made me wanna, you know, made my eyes tear up and made me wanna also join in and cry with her, and, you know. So, yeah. Now, I will talk about the preparation for the funeral. Washing and dressing the corpse, the first essential stage in helping the departure and washing the dead body. It is basically out of respect to the dead and a desire that he shall present himself clean. I'm sorry if I mispronounced this. The ceremony of the bath, it's called, excuse me if I mispronounced this, it's called Bangya. That's the bath that they're given as a dead corpse. This bath is similar to the same bath brides are given the evening before the wedding. Following after the bath, they are dressed in white clothing, replacing their clothes of the life to the clothing of death. They are covered head to toe in white, for example, white slippers, white socks, white underpants, white shirt. Everything is white, okay? On top of that, they also have a white belt and a cross that is put on them as well. The type of footwear is very crucial, plays a very big role. Their shoes has to be sewn for them the same as house slippers. Excuse me if I don't pronounce this correctly, but tapauchi. It has to be lightweight, can't be heavy. After the corpse has been washed and dressed, their hands and their feet are bounded together. They say it's to stop them from springing apart. So all over Russia, coffins are actually made at home by the men of the family. For the coffin itself, it's made soft and comfortable inside, just like your own bed at home. At the funeral, the priest says a prayer and they bury the dead, and it's followed by a required prayer. So, yes. I definitely do think that these funeral rituals brings everybody together, you know, bring everybody in the community together, because in order for these steps to even happen, you will need everybody's help. So it's a great way, and it's a great way to bond as a community. And even though it's at very unfortunate times.
First, I want to thank Omar for talking so much about Russian lamenting and giving us a really good background on that Russian tradition, so that we can compare and contrast, shall I say, to African funerary traditions and death rituals that happen over there. So as we stated before, death rituals are very common in many parts of Africa. Later on, I'll talk a little bit about specific examples of certain death rituals in the country that they originate from and what they mean. I'll talk a little about Ghana, we'll talk about Zambia, and possibly some other countries. So I really want to start off with something that an anthropologist and sociologist said. His name was Bronislaw Malinowski, and he wrote that death causes a great and permanent disturbance in the equilibrium of tribal life. And another anthropologist said,
death constitutes a partial destruction of the social cohesion, and the normal social life is disorganized. The social equilibrium is disturbed. After the death, the society has to organize itself anew and reach a new condition of equilibrium. And this was said by A.R. Radcliffe Brown. So from these quotes, we can see how important these funerary rituals are in creating and keeping communities. And that's the same thing that we saw when we looked at Russian lamenting as well, because not only is it a way for people to express grief, but it allows people to feel closer to one another and feel connected to the person that they lost and the people that are still surviving them. Although these many different types of death rituals come in many different forms, they all, in some aspect, aim to provide structure and reaffirm social values while keeping a strong emphasis on community. Similar to Russian funerary practices, African rituals can be divided into three main stages. This is described by anthropologist Van Genop. He states that there are three main stages that death rituals comprise of. The first being separation from one state or status. The second being a liminal stage or a transition stage. And the last being an incorporation into a new state or new status. So, you know, in Russian culture, lamenting is the first moment of separation, as it signifies the departure of the death and takes place as soon as the death is confirmed. And this is said by Elizabeth Warner. However, in African tradition, the period in which lamenting, or the equivalent of lamenting, is happening varies greatly depending on the culture.
To explain to you the great variety of death rituals in Africa, I'll now explore a few. I'm going to start with talking about Burkina Faso, specifically in the villages of the Yatenga province, and their customary burial and burial rituals, and what is it comprised of, you know? Is there an aspect of community in their rituals? You know, is there a group aspect, an aspect that helps people grieve as well as reaffirm social ties? That's what we're going to get into in just a second.
A customary burial in the Yatenga province in Burkina Faso starts off in the courtyard and the house of the deceased person. They begin by cutting up live animals in the courtyard of the deceased, and then they lay down the dead person in a mat in their house, symbolizing the dead person laying in the ancestor's house. Goats, money, and cotton strips are then presented to the dead person, as well as the throats of the animals that were cut. Then the bearers begin interrogating the deceased person. They begin asking questions such as, who killed you? Have you hidden anything? Where did you hide said things? Did you die because of your wives, or did you die because of your children? Do you have any unfinished business? Questions such as these. At the end of the questioning, the bearers leave for the cemetery, which is followed by the eldest son, the eldest daughter, as well as the rest of the funerary group. The men then dig a hole. In that hole, they put salt, honey, money, a rooster, and a black cat. The crowd does not follow the close family members and the bearers to the cemetery. And they disperse at this point, right before they enter the cemetery and begin to lower the deceased person inside. They all collectively say goodbye. They say, may God grant us a good night, Amina. So therein lies the communal aspect of this specific funerary ritual. because although it is something that is deeply personal to the people that are affected, it's also a communal issue in which the village and the people respond. They follow the dead person and his family all the way up to the cemetery, and then they all have their communal goodbyes. This, to me, is very similar to Russian lamenting. While not the same, it's very similar because you have that aspect of communal grieving. Another country that has a communal belief in terms of funerary rituals is Ghana. Because many Ghanaians believe that one must be remembered by the living to exist in the afterlife. Now, what does this mean in terms of funerals? Well, it means that, you know, funeral expenses are extremely, extremely expensive in Ghanaian culture, as families and communities want to show their dedication to the person that died, to allow them to exist in this afterlife, into this afterlife. Here again, we explore these three stages as that we previously talked about, these three stages of rituals, right? By the Ghanaians believing that their remembrance allows this person to exist in the afterlife, this is the last stage. This is the incorporation into a new state or new status. So that's just a little bit, you know, backtracking a little bit, but it's just a connection that I've made that, you know, we can see these three stages that we talked about before, the ones that are in Russian ceremonies as well as African ones. They make an appearance in many different rituals, in many different ways. Last example I'm going to talk about is Zambia, because I believe their funerary rituals are the most similar to Russian lamenting. So as soon as a person dies in Zambia, all the family is notified. The closest relatives or the ones who found out first will make sure that relatives far away heard about the news, whether that be through the radio, cell phone, email, or whatever. Once everybody finds out, they will all make the trip to the closest family members. And in the house of the closest relatives, they sit on the sofa and they cry and they mourn the person. And by the time the relatives come from far away, they also cry. As soon as they enter the house, they cry and they mourn. But it's not just a regular cry and it's not just a regular mourn. It's a specific kind of grief-stricken crying. It's called a kahuza. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. However, according to Mzinge Tempo, it's a very deep, loud crying, and it's accompanied by vocals. I'll spare you my attempt in trying to portray what those vocals are, and I will instead show you, or not show you, but I'll allow you to listen to what this singing sounds like. As you can hear in that clip, it's a singing mixed with the crying, and this signifies to everybody miles away that a death happened here. As many people join in, as more and more people join in, it allows the community and communities nearby to know what has happened, and it allows everyone to unite and be together in a part of hardship. And I think this is exactly like Russian lamenting, because it's not only about the individual, but it's about making the community feel better and healing those wounds. All right, now that we thoroughly discussed both Russian lamenting and African lamenting or African funerary practices, I wanted to take a minute or two to just ask Amar about her own personal experiences as a Kenyan and, you know, really ask her if she's had any experiences similar to Russian lamenting or any similar experiences to the African funerary practices that we talked about earlier. So to just get on that, Gamar, do you have any significant experiences that you would like to share?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Alma. I just want to make a disclaimer that I don't really have much experience because I didn't really like participate in the rituals because I was, you know, a child. But I will say that when the funeral was happening, when people were coming in to like give their condolences and saying sorry to my mom, some people were coming in crying, you know, some were holding their heads on their hands on their heads, some were walking up to my mom holding on through on her kneecaps, and some, you know, one of the women were pouring some water on my mom's head, you know, and onto her face, cold water to like calm her down, because, you know, it was very intense, like the whole just like the whole place, like.
So could you say that like the tensions were high and emotions were high, and do you think that this like communal expression of grief, you know, added to those emotions?
Yes, most definitely. Even though the auntie that had passed away, you know, my auntie, I wasn't really around her, so I didn't really know her. But since I was around, you know, people crying and, you know, everybody's crying and, you know, a whole lot of crying.
Grief and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, it made me sad too, and, you know, it made me want to cry too, and I went up to my mom and I went to hug her because I didn't know what else to do. I was a child, you know.
Yeah, but that's really powerful, and that's a really interesting experience that not a lot of people get to have. So after you learned about Russian lamenting, because I know you did so much research about Russian lamenting, after you learned about all of this, though, did it, like, strike a chord with you? Did you find some, you know, some relevancy, some significance in your own experience with that funeral?
Yeah. I noticed that when I was reading Elizabeth Warren's article that in a way, Kenyan's ritual and Russians' ritual is the same, like how they wash the dead bodies, and then after that they clothe them in white clothing. Well, in my culture, what they do is they do the same thing, like they wash the body and then instead of putting them in white clothing, they clothe them in a white cloth, and they just cover them with a white cloth, and that's all that they have to be put into the coffin.
Yeah, that is so interesting. It's so crazy to think about how these cultures that are, you know, geographically pretty far from each other, right? But they are all so similar, and, you know, this is such a similar thing in like all of humanity, which it's wild, you know.
Yeah, it is, and it's so interesting the way our cultures like are similar. Yeah,
well, you know, it was really great talking to you about this, and it was really great learning about this. And on that note.
Yes, same with you. It was fun.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for listening, whoever's thank out you. There.
Yes. I hope you guys weren't bored out.
All right. Bye.
Bye.